Okay, here we are, part three, David Keeling being refuted in his sermon from October 25th, 2020. Let's keep going.
A man that hears from God still hears from God. And God uses men to teach. And whenever you have your ideas all panned out, and you start asking questions, just trying to see if I line up with your ideas, you're not seeking truth. You're just trying to justify your own ideas.
Yeah, see, so right there he's absolutely wrong, because I was going and testing what he preaches is the path to eternal life and comparing against God's word. I did what the Bereans did in Acts 17 with Paul. I did that with David Keeling, and he failed because he does not preach a complete gospel. He downplays the cross and the shed blood. He downplays being born from above. He downplays the spirit-led life, and he focuses on just doing Jesus' words that they don't really do anyway. They don't really love enemies or brothers and sisters. So he lies. He's a deceiver, a liar. You decide which one, but he did just lie right there. Let's keep going.
You're not seeking truth. You're just trying to justify your own ideas and say, there's another one that's wrong. How right I am. There's another one that's wrong. Boy, I did it again. Just like the Pharisees did.
Okay, let's stop right there. So just like the Pharisees did, so he compared me when he texted me to the Pharisees, and he said I would have tried to trap Christ and crucify Christ. You know, this is craziness, because I came preaching Christ crucified at his driveway. I came telling men they must repent, place their faith in this risen Savior, and be born from above and come out of their churchianity. And he's comparing me to a Pharisee who denied who Jesus was and tried to send him to his death to get him out of the way, but I'm preaching Christ crucified. Do you see how wicked these men are? And these people will sit in the pews and drink his Kool-Aid because they need a place to go on Sunday, their so-called Lord's Day, to keep their Sermon on the Mount way. So they'll drink David Keeling's Kool-Aid of his little cult there in Monette, but it doesn't stand the test of God's word. And he's getting exposed. We love them all. I hope he repents. Let's keep going.
That's not just able to, oh, I'm building this super duper house and I can see the walls. Because his authority is much bigger than any little plan that we could map out ourselves.
So I agree with him there. Christ's authority is much bigger, and I'm going to show you how David tramples on Christ's authority. The Word of God shows us the authority of God and Christ. I'm going to show you how he tramples that regarding Apostle Paul. Coming up, let's listen.
Who would believe Jesus died and rose again, and his blood washed away all my sins? That's not what he said.
See, once again, he takes that death, burial, and resurrection and sticks it in the Sermon on the Mount or in the Gospels, where Jesus hadn't even gone and done that yet. Totally a fictitious way to study God's Word. What we're supposed to do is see what Jesus taught and then realize that we must be born from above by His Spirit to then implement them and carry out what God wants us to do. But David Keeling goes backwards to the Sermon on the Mount and never goes far enough into what Apostle Paul preached. We're getting there. Stay with me.
And if we have to use deceit to try to persuade someone or try to get in their good graces, play on their trust, try to get them to show you where they're wrong, you're right. That's not the way the Spirit of God operates. That's not the way Jesus operated. He came teaching.
All right, so again, he's talking about me coming and testing him. Actually, we're supposed to test all things. The Bible teaches that. And he's a teacher. So in order for me to know what he teaches And if I want to have it rightly divided, if I'm doing a testing on him to decide if he's teaching false or if he's teaching right, I go right to him and I ask him questions. If I didn't go right to him and ask him questions, I've had men tell me, you didn't even come me and ask me anything. So with false teachers, it doesn't matter if you come to them first, you don't come to them. They're always going to see you as their enemy. Why? Because they're false teachers. And you're exposing their lies, their heresy, their deceit, their deceptive nature, their false gospel. They're always going to find some excuse for it rather than repenting and getting things right in the Word of God. Let's keep going.
The scribes and the Pharisees and the wicked came trying to trap him in his words, trying to entangle him, trying to get him to say something wrong.
So David is saying, you know, he accused me of being a Pharisee, trying to trap him like the Pharisees tried to trap Jesus. Here's the problem. The Pharisees didn't have the finished word of God. They didn't have the Spirit of God. They didn't have the complete gospel and the risen Savior. They were confused, didn't know what was happening. And yep, their hypocrisy, their hatred, their desire to keep power caused them to do what they did. Fast forward to today, we have the complete Word of God. We have the Spirit of God available. We have the biblical gospel of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection that Paul says, this is by which you are saved. I just read to you, I'm believing what Paul says, not false teacher, liar, deceitful man, David Keeling says. So to compare today to back when the Pharisees were testing and trying to trap Jesus, to questioning a false teacher when we all have the full Word of God, not even a valid comparison. He doesn't have any clue what he's talking about. He should know what the full Word of God says if he's got the Spirit of God, which I highly doubt, and we're proving that. Let's keep going.
All the while being biblical, all the while quoting the Bible. Back then they were talking about keeping the law, and that's why they were going to kill him today. Are you following the Romans road? Today, have you been born again? They don't even know what the word means.
So once again, he downplays. He's talking about the Romans road. That's where Paul's talking about everyone's sin and because of what Christ has done. Then he downplays, have you been born again? You see a pattern here. He's not fond of the completed gospel that Paul preached. And again, we're going to get to that as he goes on. And he's going to deceive you into believing, go to a church system, just do a few good things from the Sermon on the Mount, and you're going to be fine on Judgment Day. You can't even enter the kingdom of God unless you're born from above by the biblical gospel because of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. See the problem, folks? Let's keep going.
They don't even know what the word means. They don't even know what the phrase means. It's become a catchphrase among most people that claim Christianity. Oh, yeah, I'm born again.
Yeah, he was upset because I was preaching the gospel, Christ crucified, from his driveway with my amplifier, which, by the way, he uses an amplifier in his building and he holds gospel signs. So I'm sure he wasn't upset that I held gospel signs and used an amplifier when I showed up there. Otherwise, he would be what? A hypocrite. He is one anyway. And here's why he's a hypocrite. He says, oh, people don't even know what born again means. I guess he's right. A lot of evangelicals don't. To be born from above is you're born by God's Spirit. And then Jesus says, you'll know them by their fruit. We saw the fruit of the church of Monette. Being called an idiot, a woman contending with me, and David Keeling hiding in his little house, calling me a wolf and a serpent, a snake, without even knowing what he's talking about, without even coming out to talk and show any love. Oh, that's the fruit, not of someone who's born from above. That's the fruit of dead religious people, angry when someone shows up to call them out. Reminds me of Israel getting called out by the prophets. They didn't like that, did they? No, Jesus said, you killed my prophets. That's David Keeling's problem. Rather than repenting and swallowing his pride and seeing that he's wrong, he's doubling down in his heresy and false gospel. Let's keep going.
Never heard that term. but we have. That's what makes us different. We have. So now we can come, just like the Pharisees, and say, have you been born again? That's biblical.
Yeah, see, once again, he's poking at being born from above, and he's reading it from the scriptures, and it's Jesus' own words, yet they downplay it. It's unbelievable that the men in the pews can sit and stand for this, but they do, because they're spiritually dead. If they were discerning and testing all things, as the Bible teaches us to, the Spirit would not let them be led astray, but they are void of the Spirit. That's my concern. That's what this is all about. Because of the lack of a biblical gospel being proclaimed. Let's keep going.
Come using all the proper words. But they've got the same spirit that these Pharisees that hung Jesus on the cross did. That's what it means to try the spirits. We're so easily fooled by the words. We're so easily fooled by, oh, born again, that sounds so good. That sounds so religious. I've been born again.
There he is again. So he's talking about how we who come testing people have the same spirit of the Pharisees. I already described to you what the Pharisees' problem was. They had self-righteousness. They wanted to hold on to their power. They didn't believe Jesus was God sent in the flesh. I don't have that problem. I have none of those problems. Yet David Keeling is trying to lie and deceitfully tell his people, that's my problem. I'm like a Pharisee. When in fact, he's the Pharisee denying the work of the Spirit of God in a person's life. See how Satan turns things around. His workers turns things around. David Keeling is acting as a worker of Satan. Let's keep going.
But you do not know where it comes from and where it's going. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. Boy, I wish it had been a little more clear there to have spelled out how you're born again, like we can now. He left it so vague. He didn't just tell us, okay, are you a sinner? Yes. You fall short of the glory of God? Yes. Would you confess your sin? Yes. Would you say this prayer and ask Jesus into your heart? Yes. Well, why didn't Jesus just tell us that? Instead of talking about the wind blows wherever it wants and you don't know where it come from.
All right, so here David's reading from John 3, and he's trying to confuse people on what being born from above means. And he's saying, why didn't Jesus make it more clear? If David would just go and read the rest of God's word, we see in Acts 2 what happens when the Spirit comes. That's what we see. That's what God ordained. That's what Jesus was talking about would happen. Yet, no, David's trying to say, oh, no, it's not any of those things. You just go back and keep the Sermon on the Mount. You don't worry about what people say it is. You just go and you just keep the Sermon on the Mount. When, in fact, in the New Testament, further on, it teaches us exactly what being born from above is and how we then live out our life with indwelling Holy Spirit, something David Keeling seems to be void of. Let's keep going.
How can these things be? How is it you can't just tell me how to be saved? We've asked, how do you be saved? You can't tell us. You must be wrong. The same Spirit today as it was when Jesus was here. They don't change. Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we have seen, and you do not accept our testimony. I buy you books and buy you books, and all you do is eat the covers.
Yeah, so right there, when Jesus says to the Pharisee, you don't know, Has David Keeling not read the Old Testament in Jeremiah 31, where God promised a new covenant, and also in Ezekiel, where people would get, his people would get new hearts from stony to fleshly hearts? The promise of the Spirit, it says it in the Old Testament. God says, I will put my Spirit in them. They should have known the day was coming when people would be new creations in God, in Christ, with a new spirit because of the Messiah coming. He should have known that if he was a teacher in Israel. That's what Jesus was saying. David Keeling is void of that fact because he hasn't studied the Word of God, and he's without the Spirit of God to help him understand the truth of God. Let's keep going.
The Son of Man. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man be lifted up. Earthly things. So that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. Whoever believes in him will have eternal life.
Yeah, right there. That is basically David Keeling's gospel. Whoever believes on Jesus, he doesn't preach Christ crucified. He does not preach and focus on the blood of Christ for your salvation, the new life born from above. Oh, he'll say he believes in that. It's not what he preaches. He's a false teacher and a deceiver, leading people into a life of religiosity and spiritless, dead, dry religion on their Sundays from a pulpit, singing, but have not the heart to love a brother and sister or a neighbor. Jesus said in John 13, if you don't love, you're not born of him. That's David Keeling and Church of Monette's problem. Let's keep going.
Lord, and build their house on a rock. Whoever believes in him not in these modern concoctions of theology that take the spirit of the Pharisee and give it the words of the New Testament. It's he that believes in him. It's that simple.
Actually, it's not that simple, David Keeling, because the Bible teaches so much more than just belief in Christ. That belief is an allegiance to follow. The follow is keeping of God's word, knowing God's word. How can you keep and know God's word? How can you be empowered to endure in the faith and walk in holiness and obedience? You must be born from above by the Spirit of God through faith and repentance, something David Keeling does not teach or preach or focus on, like Apostle Paul did. We're going to get to that.
You believe in someone, and then take the things that they say, and don't believe them, and don't practice them, and don't do them.
That's a good question, David. How can you take the words of Jesus that says, love your brothers and sisters and love your enemies, you and your people don't do that? How about where God says, cover yourself in a tunic-like garment, you don't do that? How about where Jesus says, keep everything I've commanded, Matthew 28:20, teaching them to obey everything he's commanded, yet you add to it and add the Lord's Day is Sunday, add Resurrection Sunday, add a ritual building system with one man behind a pulpit in timed out, spiritless, dead gatherings? How can you do all those things and say that you're obeying Jesus? The New Testament model was shown by Apostle Paul, called by Jesus Christ to be his emissary. I'm going to read you some scriptures on that. Hold with me. We're getting to that part of the sermon. Actually, we're going to go on to part number 4 coming up.